All right, coming to theology, we're down at B. Sorry, down at the very bottom, page 15 is where I'm at. Does that look right?
Yeah.
All right. We're looking at the different covenants throughout history, throughout time. And let's see, you had a page there that had a list, had a set of a chart. You had a previous chart. You need that. Let me see if I can get mine.
Comparison
chart. I love you,
Mr.
Yeah. 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 Thanks. You're welcome. Okay. Even though it's upside down.
I love you. Thank you. What is my hair?
Yeah,
it's
cool. I really
like
hair.
Learning
all this stuff, I could never stop
reading.
I don't like
tests.
I have to.
I know. I kind of, it's kind of a page thing for me. I kind of like,
When you get through, you're like,
oh, now I want to, and then you learn all the
wrongs,
and then...
Yeah.
Okay, that's being printed, and while it's coming out, you've got a chart. No, go to the real long one. Ruth's got it here, the long sideways one. Okay, those are the different charts, and I was thinking of putting it onto a PowerPoint and trying to fit it, but it just doesn't fit like it does on that page. Believe me, it was very complicated getting it laid out like that. Thankfully, when it comes to the Bible, you know already some different covenants. You already know some basic dispensations. You know you've got an old covenant, you have a new covenant. Okay? That God begins with that. But when you begin to study and you rightly divide the Word of God, you come to find out there are plenty of covenants in operation. We already talked about the first covenant being the earthly covenant, a covenant that was established when God created the earth, and He made some promises. He said, as long as that earth is there, seed time and harvest, sun and moon would not go away. Now B, we've got the pre-fall. The pre-fall covenant. We got a pre-fall covenant. Alright, this is the Edenic covenant. Begins in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where God makes some agreements with man after He makes him. And that thing only lasts until chapter 3, verse 24, when God has to curse Eden. This is the first real covenant made between man and God, where man has anything to do with the covenant. A lot of other covenants are just God saying, this is what I'm going to do. But here, He says, this is what we're going to do, and if you break it, you're in trouble. All right. Now, covenant means what? An agreement. And if you break that agreement, bets are off, okay? Here's a man and a woman, they're married, and the man goes off and commits adultery. The woman goes off and commits adultery. That is grounds for divorce. But boy, you shouldn't seek for it. But you understand there was a violation there of an agreement. And God says, you break our covenant, and I can pull away from you, and you're on your own. So it is under this covenant that the following things were required of man there in Genesis chapter 1. One, He requires man to be fruitful and fill the earth. He requires man to have dominion over the earth. He requires man to enjoy the fruits of his labors. You're welcome to have any tree, just don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was under that covenant that everything was started. It wasn't started outside of the garden. They're supposed to be fruitful and multiply in the garden. This covenant had also two other covenants operating under it. And God had made some agreements beforehand. You can have that one, or if you get that. God had made some agreements that are called angelic and humanic covenants. He had some things going on in the background between Him and angels. They were in operation. And He had a covenant called the humanic or covenant, or meaning that when He created this universe, He didn't walk away from it. He made an agreement, I'm going to start this thing, I'm going to stay with it all the way to the end. Okay? So the angelic covenant is between God and Lucifer and all the angels. Plenty of scriptures, don't have much time. But that angelic covenant, He says to the angels, His work, I expect you to work with me, serve and obey, and it should be capital G, serve and obey God. and or you'll lose your position. Isn't that what happened with Lucifer?
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew 25 has got Jesus saying, "And I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven." He says it was a great day. He says the angel that sinned, they were locked out of heaven. They were put in chains in hell. They broke the angelic covenant. Now this part of the Edenic covenant continues from creation and it goes all the way through to the new heaven and new earth. And it establishes how God and allows Lucifer to operate. Do you know, Lucifer has to check in with God. Where you been, devil? I've been everywhere. Oh yeah, have you seen so-and-so? So they have a chat every once in a while. He has to ask permission from God to do damage. Aren't you glad? Amen? He is directed by God at times to judge or to chasten. God will back off and say, "Have at him, Satan. Have at him." Now why would God do that? For our benefit, but man, why would God allow that? Because we push God away. When you push God away, somebody else takes his place. And he's not a nice critter. So, B, your humanic covenant. These aren't great names, but they're important titles here. That's a covenant that God made with Adam and Eve in the garden. Again, these are Edenic covenants taking place at the same time. It's between God and man as opposed to God and angels. And he just says to Adam, he says, "Obey and you'll live forever." Now, is it possible to obey? No. So therefore, when God created perfectly, to obey perfectly, when God created Adam, he knew that he was going to fall. This is just what Adam and Eve would have done if they had not sinned. They would have lived forever. Or you can disobey and die. This covenant ended the moment Eve sinned. Now, this is the eternal covenant in temporary operation, but it stops at the fall only to be revived in the new heaven and new earth time frame. God puts in, there is the eternal covenant put in temporary operation. Let's see, which thing do I want to show you? All right. Well, on the very last lines, you've got the suspension of the eternal covenant. Okay, there is, man is being invited to be part of eternity, okay, and it's very complicated. I'm just trying to debate on how far to go with this. Just when Adam and Eve are created, the universe is all one. God is with man is with God, everything's going fine, until sin comes in. And God has to suspend and actually put a wall between eternity and God and mankind. All right, so he has to suspend this relationship in this eternal covenant. The kingdom, one way of saying it is the kingdom was offered, then the kingdom was lost. Now, the spiritual kingdom is in force, amen? But the kingdom is restored. We call it the kingdom of heaven, and that's the millennial kingdom in the future. And it actually runs parallel with our dispensations.
Does the small L for lamb mean the Old Testament?
Old Testament lamb or Jesus being the New Testament lamb. Okay, number C, Adamic covenant. Adamic covenant. This is the covenant between Adam and his seed. It is only capable of being modified by the coming of another seed that is of God and not man. Let's go to Genesis 3, 12 to 19. So if you'll notice, your the way this thing lines up is this, okay? I dread trying to recreate this, all right? But you have the Edenic covenant, the covenant made in Eden, all right? And then you have the Adamic covenant. Now what happens is this: between there is the fall of mankind. And the Adamic covenant takes over and runs, replacing the Edenic covenant. The Edenic covenant only lasts for this period of time until the fall. And then you have the Adamic. You'll see down the bottom. I have the covenants building from the bottom up. Okay, you have the dispensations at the top. and each one taking place and running across. Some of them actually continue, and we're still under them now. When God made a promise to Abraham about the land over there in Palestine, and he made a covenant with Abraham saying, that's your land. Guess what? It still is. That covenant is still in operation. All right. Catholics don't agree with that. They want the land. But, so, 3:12 says this, and the man said, he started to complain, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, the rules have changed. I used to let you run around, but because you let the devil possess you, the serpent allowed the devil to possess him. Because of that, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go. We got new rules here. And dust shalt thou eat. Before they could eat fruit, they were all vegetarians. Now this snake is going to eat more dust than he eats food. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, warfare, conflict between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Then he turns around to the woman, and he says, unto the woman he said, the rules have changed. Before, you're going to have an easy birth. They're just going to pop out like pulling a tooth. Time now is going to be painful. You won't lose teeth without pain. You won't have babies without great pain. I will greatly multiply. And when you have children, there'll be sorrow. They will not be joy all the time to you. And I'll multiply your conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Sorry, ladies, the rules have changed. And unto Adam he said, and the rules have changed for you too, mister, because you've hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Every job you ever take is going to turn out to be a curse. You're going to think it's great, I got a new job, and 3 weeks later, I hate this job. That's part of the curse. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall I bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return to the ground, and for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So what you're looking at is an Adamic covenant. He says the rules have changed, and you know, you blew it. So this is how things are going to work from here on out. God could have turned his back on Adam and Eve once they had disobeyed him, but instead he throws away the first covenant and establishes another one that will enable them and all people to get back to God. Did you know there's a lot of good things in here? One of them is they're going to die. Do you know that's a good thing? Because can you imagine being stuck in a sinful body with a sinful lust and will for all eternity? Aren't you glad that he said you'll die? Because then you can be free. Another thing that's in here is that by obedience and submission, we can beat the devil. Amen. You obeyed your wife, got you in trouble. Now learn to obey me, will you? And by obeying me, we'll defeat the devil. Woman, I know you believed a lie, but now by believing me, we can kick the devil in the teeth. You see how it works. He turns the thing what the devil meant for evil, the Lord's going to use for good. Now, the beginning of the covenant is established in the punishments for breaking the first covenant. If God didn't punish, no one would take God seriously. And that ought to make you realize why God had created hell. He created hell, or else God, nobody would take God seriously. Yeah. Amen. Secondly, if God didn't introduce death, then Adam and Eve, as well as their descendants, would have been trapped in immortal, sinful bodies for all eternity. But praise God, we're free from the penalty of sin now. We are being made free from the power of sin on a daily basis, and one day we will be free from the very presence of sin when we get a new body. Three, the curses include the Adamic nature being passed onto all descendants. Your kids are going to be just as much. Adam, you're going to have to live with a son who's just like you. Eve, you're going to have a son or a daughter who's just like you. That's part of the curse. They have to face themselves. They have to live with themselves. You say, well, John, it's such a terror. Yeah, whatever you got it from. Not from me. pain for the woman in conception. The ground is cursed. Adam and all workers are never going to really enjoy the fruit of their labors anymore like they could have. The serpent is cursed and Satan is cursed, thankfully. Four, the promises of this covenant include the redemption of mankind as well as life itself. All part of the removal process. God's going to redeem mankind, but he's going to have to let it die somehow. The promises include the removal of the curses in the future. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Sheena, would you read 8:18 to 23?
I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
So all of creation, the dirt, is moaning, saying, when is God going to fix this world? Alright, now we've been fixed. The world just wants to be fixed like we have. We really have been fixed. And the whole world, dogs, cats, birds, are groaning under the weight of our sin. And they're just groaning. You think of the Valdez oil spill up there in Alaska 15, 20 years ago. Remember that? There's a tanker ran aground and all that oil went along the west coast of Alaska. Killed off millions of endangered species, stuff like that. That's man. That's man. And creation's like, when will this get fixed? Well, a Christian's fixed. They are. And all the creation's waiting to get fixed too. Amen? So there is going to be, the promises include the fact that these things are, the curses that God does put on, thankfully, are not eternal. They will be removed. And the curses are partially removed in stages. They're removed partially under the substitutionary sacrifices in the Old Testament. Those Old Testament gave a lot of exceptions. Here's a people, the Jews, who would not ever be wiped out. All other nations, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Egyptian Empire, all empires have been wiped out. One nation still stands. The Jews. That's God showing us that and even under the Old Testament, some of those curses are partially undone through the Lamb. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ brought about change. The rapture is going to break some changes, amen? And God intends on restoring all the damage that Satan inflicts, all by the faith of any individual, starting with Eve and Adam, and then through any who believe God's promise. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. After all that dark curse, listen to what Adam calls his wife. And Adam called his wife Eve, not you idiot. He calls her Eve because she's the mother, not of all damned, but of all living. He's got some hope. He's going to trust. He's not going to get all focused on the curses. He's just going, wow, you know, God's going to get us through this. That's great.
So did he name her after?
Yes.
So what did he call her before?
Woman? No, I don't know. I don't know what he called her. He probably said, sweetheart, love, come here. But after that, he gives her a name. He had named every other creature, remember? He says, woman. That's what he called her at first, but now he gives her a proper name. Okay. All right. Five, the requirements for man under this covenant. The requirements. Work hard anyway. Doesn't matter that that you're going to sweat and that it's not going to bear as much fruit as it was before the garden. Still work. You're made to work. If you're not working, you're working against God. Your laziness is against God. B, have children anyway. Oh man, my kids, what if my kids grew up and man, they torment me. Have them anyway. Amen. Go ahead and replenish the earth. Amen. He says, have dominion anyway. I put you on this planet to climb the mountains, to build empires. Go ahead. That's part of our, that's man's responsibility. Saved or lost. So you wonder, man, what's going on? Why are these guys trying to conquer different countries? They're fulfilling the Adamic covenant. They need Christ. They're going to kill a lot of people. But that's what we were put here to do. D, look forward to the coming of the Redeemer, the Messiah. Because he says, I'll bring about a child who will beat you, devil. So look forward to that Redeemer. And accept the fact that you're doomed. You go ahead and you go, I guess we're going to die, honey. That's why Solomon says, enjoy today. Yeah. Solomon says, man, rejoice with the wife of your youth. Don't look to when you're finally retired to enjoy her. Enjoy her now.
Retire now.
No, that's wrong version. And lastly, and accept the lambs in your place. The next thing that happens is, God takes those lambs, verse 21, and unto Adam also and to his wife did the lamb make coats of skin, and he clothed them. He says, take off those stupid, silly fig leaves and wear the coat of the lamb. And they had to accept the lamb. Number 6, this covenant began while Adam and Eve were still in the garden, and it lasts until the new heaven and the new earth. Project. Yes! I want you to reword this covenant. I want you just to describe this covenant in one or two pages. I gave you all the information. Huh?
We're doomed.
That's not either. I want you to understand the covenant, that it is still going on, that it's okay to have children. When Nita and I got married, she asked me, she said, don't you think, what if the rapture occurs? Should we have children? I mean, they'll be going through the tribulation. I said, I'm not going to worry about it at all. Like, man, if I sat there, I mean, no Christian would have kids now because we're all waiting for the rapture. No, man, you don't know when the rapture's going to happen. Have kids, amen? You see, that's understanding the Adamic culture. I mean, the Adamic covenant. Yeah. The Adamic covenant. So, okay? It's not that hard of a project. You're just taking what I just wrote and rewording it and making it into paragraphs and explaining this in your own words. Let's look at Noah's covenant, the Noahic covenant. The Noahic covenant. Ick covenant. Well, he did get drunk. All right, you get to Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. You pick it up there. A new covenant is established. Why did he have to start a new covenant? Same reason why he had to start a new dispensation. Man's disobedience. All right, 8, 21 and 22, Ruthie.
Smell the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse this ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and the day and night shall not cease.
Okay, so that begins, he says, alright, I gotta fix this thing. Because he was under the Adamic covenant. All those things were cursed, and he says, you know, I had to absolutely wipe out everybody, but I won't do that anymore. Right? Which is, at least yet, with water. And in chapter 9, you go through 16 verses, and he gives a new expectation to mankind. Hey, we go up to your top line under dispensations. When Adam and Eve were running around naked, what were they living by? Innocence. They didn't know anything. All right, just one rule. Then you come under, and God says, do you want to live by the way you think? Have at it. And for the next 1,600 years, until Noah's flood, 1,500 years, they're living by conscience. And they're operating under a covenant of agreement between God and all of mankind. This is what I expect you to do. And what do? They self-destruct. Their conscience is only evil continually against God. So now you come to the third dispensation, which is the third covenant, which is established, which has some agreements established in the third covenant, and that is I need a government set up, God says. We need you guys to take responsibility for how you treat each other. We need people in charge of people. And whether they're elected or whether they're kings and they take over, it doesn't matter to me, God says. Somebody needs to take charge. Okay? And that's the Noahic Covenant. Let's look at this. Timing. The timing of the Noahic Covenant is this right after the flood. Noah has left the ark to find a new world laid out before him. He's still got 2,500 years before Christ comes. So how is the world going to survive? So God makes a covenant between God and the descendants of Noah, all of mankind. The promises that God made were that God was through cursing the earth with a flood. Up until that point, God's curses were constantly on the increase until the flood came. I think that Tyrannosaurus Rex and dinosaurs and stuff like that had turned violent against man, trying to bring man to his knees. And man just kept saying, oh, we'll fight him and we'll conquer him. And it never did anything to him until God had to wipe him away. Then another promise, that the rainbow would be a sign of this new covenant forever. It proves that it never rained on the earth before the flood. Somebody said, well, how do you know it didn't rain before the flood? Because there were no rainbows before the flood. You can't have rain come out of the sky without someday there being a rainbow in the sky. So if God says, and I'll put the rainbow there, well, that tells me the rainbow had never been there before the flood. So the flood is the first time it rains. Number C, this covenant would be eternal, not like, again, the Edenic covenant. We're still dealing with something that lasts forever. 4, commandments required by God to be obeyed. Number A, he still goes on, he says in chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to Noah and his wife, 500, 600 years old, have more children. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He says, keep that up. Alright, don't complain about having children. Don't believe in population control. Just raise up a godly generation for God. Don't just have kids. Have godly kids. B. Dominate the earth. Be in control of it. Decide what to do with the land. Be responsible for it as well. C. Hey, you can eat animals now. Not the dog, but you can eat the animals. Amen? Except for the blood. He gives all the instructions there. Verse 3. Everything that liveth shall be meat for you. Just as it was, even as it was with the green herb, have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. So don't eat meat dripping in blood.
So cook it.
Okay? And surely your blood of your lives will I require it. The hand of every beast will I require it. So if a beast kills a man, that beast must die. If a man kills a man, that man must die. Capital punishment, end of story, no questions.
Sorry. Does that mean that the death penalty in some states, that's right?
It's right, yeah. People are trying to get rid of the death penalty, but it is right, and it should be brought back in. You're going to have to see a lot of people saved in order to elect a government that will have the courage to go back to that. But a lot of people are getting tired of spending 100,000 euros on a guy to live in a prison who should be dead, who should not be... by the time he's lived 30 years, if they even stay in prison that long, they only stay in prison 10 years at the most for murders now, 10 or 12 years. So at the time of that 12 years is done, they spent 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 euros.
But in the States,
in some of the states, somebody who murders is getting less and less, but somebody who murders, they still have the death penalty. And it's right. He says, not you will require it, I require it at the hand of man, verse 5. At the hand of every man's brother will I require it, the life of man. It will be required. If you guys won't do it, I will authorize that a man's brother will be able to seek revenge. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. God says, I'm not going to kill him, you do it. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. He says, verse 8, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall it be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be a token for a covenant between me and the earth, and it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the token of the covenant. This is the sign of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. And it just gives you a little preview of what's to come. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. So there are only three people groups. So we talked about D. There must be capital punishment for murders. Number five, yes, ma'am.
Is that where all the different colored people would come from?
Yep, they come from the land of Ham, which is Africa.
But like, I don't understand if Adam. What color was Adam and Eve?
He was dark. You have to start off with dark skin in order to get white. You can't start off with white and never get dark. You never do. So they were black. You have two groups of. All right, first of all, you have something here. All right, let's. Which way do I want to go? Let's go Adam and Eve. All right, A and E. And all different people groups. Some of them based on this group just staying in this one area, and this group staying in this one area, and never intermixing, you might get lighter people, and you might get darker. Okay? Now, somewhere along in there, you come with Noah and his family. Now, they're just one of these strands coming out of Adam and Eve. They're one of the children, the descendants. And Noah, what was his wife? Well, they had three boys. One, two, three. And they had three wives. So here's Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now these three boys, their wives came from other branches. X plus Shem, Ham plus Y, or cheese, and Japheth plus Z. Okay? So whoever comes along and married them, they got their genes. But those are the three people groups now that are going to fill our earth. Okay? Now, Japheth, we know, goes to Europe. Ham goes south to Africa. And Shem goes east into China and Asia and all that area. All right? So we got Shemites, which the Jews come from, and all the Orientals. You got Ham, Africa, and you got Japheth, and that's us. Your descendants are Japhethites who went down to Africa. Okay? All right. So, let's go through this thing. Number five, Noah's three sons head off ultimately in three different directions with different relationships towards God. Seems to differentiate each from the other's descendants. So, Shem is your first one, A. And if you read along, we're just not going to read it, but Shem. God blesses Shem for his faith and his obedience. Shem is the father of the Orientals. He headed east from Ararat. Shem is God's choice to continue a godly line through which to bring into the world Jesus. So you have Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, and Shem goes down to Abraham. Abraham is a Shemite. Abraham goes down to David, and David to Jesus. So we have a special line there, the Shemites. You know what? We're not in the line of Shem, so there's no pride in us at all. Amen. B, Ham. Ham grossly sins against his father Noah and gets his son, Canaan, cursed by Noah. Ham, as a people group, are in trouble with God. I don't mean that we're not in trouble with God. Just Ham got in extra trouble with God. Africa and Egypt in particular are called the land of Ham. Let's go to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verse 23. John?
Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham.
Egypt is the land of Ham. Look at verse 27.
They show his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham.
Yeah, so Egypt, all of those miracles and everything, the plagues, the disasters, were occurring in the land of Ham. All right, we got another one. Psalm 106:22. Go ahead there, John.
Wondrous works in the land of Ham and terrible things by the Red Sea.
Good. So you're dealing with Africa. Let's keep going. A lot of people are afraid of this. The truth is the truth, whether they like it or not. That doesn't mean that I'm superior to them at all. Not at all. Just there's some things you got to deal with when you're dealing with some culture and people groups. Nimrod comes from this line. So you meet one of the brashest, most rebellious men in all of history. His name's Nimrod. He started Babel, the empire. The Philistines come from this line. The Ethiopian eunuch also comes from this line. Yeah. Amen? And so does the Queen of Sheba. Amen? So it's not that they're all bad. Don't get that idea. Well, you know, they're a subhuman race. They're not a subhuman race. They just got some troubles. And when you're dealing with them, you need to deal with them about that thing.
Did the ministry course follow along that line?
Probably. Not sure I can fully understand it. I don't fully want to... I mean, a woman, she's got an extra curse, doesn't she?
Yeah.
When was the last time you had a baby? When was the last time you were told to obey your husband? I mean, there are some curses that are particularly to a people group, amen? And people get all bent out of shape because somebody's black. I don't know if their blackness is their curse. That doesn't mean anything. That's just genetic pools.
Huh? Adam was black.
No, Adam was brown. Adam was dark, I said. It's from dark. You can't go from white to black. But you can go from olive brown and go black or go white. That's possible. The melanoma, what's the skin pigmentation called?
Melatonin.
That thing's been proven. You have to start with olive brown. You can't start with white. There's Hitler saying the perfect race is the Aryan race. No, the Aryan race, a perfectly white person, an albino person is a freak. So he wasn't right.
What's up with, why are they like that?
Who? There's a mutation in their genes that stops them from being able to have any pigmentation, so they're white. Now, I've seen black people who are white, you know, but they're not normal, you know. They got pink eyes and stuff.
Lots of them in South Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
Albino rats and stuff.
Japheth, the third guy, Japheth. By nature, Japheth is a conqueror. He heads west by northwest. He's a European. If you look there and go back to Genesis, all of these things are listed here in Genesis... Chapter 9, in verse 24, and what you've got is Canaan messed up, seriously. Not Canaan, Ham messed up. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be your son, Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And sin will always make you a servant, a slave. And he said, blessed be the God, Lord God of Shem. And Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth. Japheth is going to conquer. And he shall dwell in the tents of... Now this is wild. This is one of those neat prophecies in the Bible that you don't get until about the 16th century. Alright? Let's get a planet here. Let's try to do this and have some fun. Alright? I got the globe. Okay? So let's look down. Here's the North Pole. Alright? And we'll start over here, and we'll start with Ararat. Mountains of Ararat. We got Japheth. And Japheth heads over this way, going west. And as Japheth heads west, Shem heads east. Again, I'm looking from the north. It looks kind of funny, but east is this way, west is this way, okay? And it says, now Shem heads over, and he's going into Asia. Okay? Japheth, you know what it says? Japheth's going to end up over here and living where Shem lives. And guess what's over here is called America. And guess who was occupying America when old Japheth went over there and says, yeah, that they were Shemites. Those American Indians were from Shem. And Japheth takes over their tents. Teepees, you want to call them that. He's just making a prophecy that Japheth is going to try to, you know, run everything. And he does. It's not the Asians don't rule the world. It's Japheth that runs the monetary things. Now, Asia does pretty good sometimes with money. But it's just kind of funny. China bought a Boeing 747 back 40 years ago. And China, this was back in the communist China, they took this plane apart, laid it out on the tarmac, miles long, cataloged every bolt, every nut, every tube, and then over next to it, built another one, exactly like what they had taken apart. Put it all together, it wouldn't start up. They couldn't get it to work. They tried to copy American ingenuity, okay? And they couldn't innovate, all right? But they learned after that disaster, they and the Japanese decided, all right, we may not be able to match them head on with innovation, but we'll make it better. And every radio and TV you got, the better one is made in Japan and in China. They know how to do it better. There's differences in the nationalities. Japheth, by nature, is a conqueror. He heads west by northwest up into Europe. He ends up dwelling even in the tents of Shem when he invades and conquers America. Japheth's line is Alexander the Great, William the Conqueror, the Caesars. Those guys are Japhethites. These are the three basic classifications of people in the world. The Shemites, the Mongoloids, the Orientals, the Occidentals, the Far Easterners. Japhethites are the Caucasoids, the Westerners, the Europeans. The Hamites are the Negroids, the Negroes, the Blacks, the Africans. God deals with all of them on the basis of the Noahic Covenant, but specifically on the basis of the Shemitic Covenant. Shemitic. Shemite. Shem. S-H-E. Shem. Itic. Covenant. You ever hear somebody say that's an anti-Semitic remark?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, that's just a slur of Shem. Anti-Semite. This means an anti-Jew. So anti-Semitic, Shemitic. Just believe me, it's just slurring. And it is on the basis, 929, in all the days of Noah, no, 926, sorry. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of, not Japheth, and not of Ham, but of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Now, if you're going to get to God, it's going to have to be in the same manner as Shem's relationship. Ham and his descendants are going to have to overcome some sort of additional curse because of his sin, and Japheth is going to have to overcome materialism in order for him to get saved. And every Japhethite is going to have to get over our God of materialism if we're going to get saved. And you know what? In order to get saved, you got to go to a Jewish Savior, reading about him in a Jewish Bible, living in a Jewish country. You can't beat it. Shem's the one to go to. If you're gonna learn about God, you gotta. What does Jesus say in John 4:24? Well, 23. He says, "Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation's of the Shemites, of the Jews." All right, we're gonna stop there.
So interesting. One of the Roman studies more.